The sodium-potassium pump has a very important function in the cell membrane. It has many functions that play both a biological and chemical role in maintaining the homeostasis of a cell. First, we can address what it does. It is constantly shuttling ions in and out of the cell. The two ions are sodium and potassium. For every 3 sodium ions that go out of the cell, 2 potassium ions come into the cell. There's a higher concentration of sodium outside of the cell and a higher concentration of potassium inside of the cell, which happens to be more electronegative. This is an example of active transport, which means energy is expended in the process of moving ions. The energy source is ATP. The molecule splits into ADP, an inorganic phosphate molecule that releases energy in order to move the 2 different types of ions. There is a flowchart that explains if a process is active or passive, and what different processes are called by defining what molecules are transported. Since it is active transport, we need to consider the way they cross the membrane. Carrier proteins help them out by having a specific attachment point, kind of like an active site of an enzyme. This process is a little hard to remember, but we have a mnemonic device to help memorize it. It is called 1-2-3-NO-KIA. It takes 1 molecule of ATP to drive the process with 2 potassium ions and 3 sodium ions. Na, which is sodium, is more concentrated outside of the cell, and K, potassium, is more concentrated inside of the cell. So again, 1-2-3-NO-KIA. This one pump is responsible for many different processes in the human body. It serves its purpose to provide a balance, so we can look at this from a biological, chemical, and physiological standpoint. The biological standpoint states that the cell is constantly making sure it has all the nutrients it needs for survival. So the sodium-potassium pump is needed where there is an excess or shortage of ions. Sodium is needed for salt, an important part of blood plasma. The chemical standpoint views the pump and its processes as an electrochemical gradient. The inside of the cell is more negative than the outside of the cell. This means that there has to be a certain concentration in each part of the body. Changing the concentration to perform a task is very common. So they always have to go back to the equilibrium, which is a term that is very prevalent in the chemistry community because each reaction has to have an equilibrium due to changing environments. The physiological standpoint views the sodium-potassium pump as an extremely useful part in signal transduction in neurons. The very first part of the signal being put forth is the sodium-potassium pumps being opened, and the end of the signal is the sodium-potassium pumps being closed. They also regulate how often a signal can go through a neuron based on how long they are closed. It is important to realize that in order to complete active learning about the sodium-potassium pump, you need to be able to understand how it works in different fields. It helps to memorize the specifics of the structures and what molecules it interacts with, but it also helps to know what effects it has in chemistry, biology, and physiology. This leads to our questions in the middle. These will continue to bring active learning into our students in many different disciplines, and will all be involving Bloom's taxonomy. The first one about homeostasis makes students apply their knowledge of basic biology to basic chemistry to see how they are related. The second question makes students analyze a situation where they might be put in later in life as a medical professional. The last question is an open-ended one that might help them create possibilities in their mind that truly demonstrate what they have absorbed. It will complete the active learning cycle. Attached is also a formative assessment which can be used for both LAs, teachers, and professors to gauge their students' learning and understanding of concepts surrounding the sodium-potassium pump and active transport. It allows them to base their teaching strategies around the students' previous knowledge on the subject and where possibly incorrect mental models may be, and to see where new questions may arise. For the final part of the project, I will reflect on what it was like to have my student experience impacted as my work as an LA. I am able to pick apart how my studying and learning habits work, and I am able to try and change them for the better. Metacognition now helps me carefully plan my learning and analyze it, and be able to recognize when I cannot grasp a piece of material. When I do require some help, I'll make sure to see who or what I can go into order to find some help on a specific topic, whether it be a resource, a professor's office hour, or a former student of that course. LA experiences have taught me how to better organize my learning opportunities to lead me to greater success.